Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Larry Thomas, the soup Nazi from Seinfeld, and I just want to say, no soup for you, Mr. Media!
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to comedian John Caparulo, who's appearing this weekend at Side Splitters in Tampa, and next weekend in your town, wherever that is. Stick around.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher's smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey area? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Gallagher lookalikes, most of whom could really, seriously use a bath. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Melonhead. In the new and immediate capital of the world and home of the best team in baseball, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Please put your hands together for Ohio's own Mr. John Caparulo.
I wish I did political jokes, but I don't know shit. Like, I get guilt-tripped all the time because I don't fucking care, all right? Whatever, you know, like, exactly, yeah. I don't care. People guilt-trip me about it all the time. Did you see what Bush said today? Did you see his speech? No? How could you miss that? I guess I got more channels than you do, Joe, because it wasn't on Nickelodeon, all right? You don't have to watch that shit anymore. It's not like the 80s where the president would come on and you'd be like, fuck, we got to miss out. Great. All right. Yeah, thanks, dog.
Unfunny times demand the most from those among us with a sense of humor. High unemployment, falling wages, rampant homelessness, political divisions, religious intolerance, wars, natural disasters, horrible, unfunny stuff. But every year I look around and I'm reminded this is the same stuff we endured last year. The names change, the issues vary, but the only real difference is that I'm a year older and I need a good laugh more than ever. And now I've put a ton of pressure on my guest, John Caparulo. But he can handle it. Every night in venues large and small, he mounts a stage somewhere in America and assumes an offensive stance in the face of sometimes hostile enemy fire. You know, hecklers. Caparulo is a comedian with a rising profile thanks to regular appearances on E's Chelsea Lately, The Tonight Show, and a spot on the blue-collar comedy The Next Generation Tour. He's a funny guy, probably closer to Larry the Cable Guy than Jeff Foxworthy in style, which is not a bad position in this country. John Caparulo, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, how's it going?
All right. I'm in Tampa for the first time, so it's interesting. Not really like Larry the Cable Guy, though. Actually, we really don't have much in common. We're both you know, kind of fat and we wear hats. That's pretty much where the similarities end. It's been one that's weird for me for a while. Like, I mean, I've never met Larry. I think I've heard he's a very, really nice guy, but if one more person yells "get her done" at me, I'm going to punch him in the throat. So we don't have any similarity as far as our act.
Well, I hate to be the one to break this to you, but Larry kind of broke his act here in Tampa. Years ago.
I heard that the club owner at Side Splitters, he told me about that. And, I mean, I've never heard anything but good things about him as a guy, and I don't have a problem with his act. It's just, I hate being compared to him because our act really isn't There's no similarity.
Okay. All right. Well, next time you come on, I will come up with a very different comparison.
All right.
So, John, let me ask you this. I mean, as a comedian, do you have to go very far these days to find material, or you know, do you find that it really just comes to you?
You know, it comes in waves, really, as a comic. You know, it's just you know, I mean, if you know, it's kind of like when one thing, you know, maybe happens to you or disturbs you, it kind of gets the juices flowing with everything. So it's just like, you know, I mean, whether it's, you know, hey, I'm pissed off about traffic, and you know what, it's like, and I hate this song, you know, so it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it comes in droves, but then sometimes nothing comes, so it's one of those things. It's a tortured way to live.
Now, what was the last new piece of material that you added permanently to your act? I'm sure there are things that come and go, but the last thing you went, that's really good stuff. I got to do that every night.
You know what? I went skydiving back in March, and it was one of those things where it was like I knew that type of experience would end up being something that I would talk about, and yeah, it's kind of ended up being a thing that I talk about on stage every night. But it's one of those things where it's like it's going to be really scary, you know, and everything. But the whole process that you have to go through with it, because you know you have to jump basically attached to some dude's chest, and I mean it's got its own set of, you know, it's like socially awkward as well as scary. So it's one of those things that, you know, I've just been talking about it a lot.
And the way it ends, I guess, you're either going to die or you're going to be so glad to be disconnected from this guy.
Pretty much, that's the thing about it is like, you know, there's, you know, just as much, you know, there's just as much thought and, you know, the scariness as the fact that, you know, this is the first time I've had a dude on my back. So it's scary and creepy at the same time.
And what about the other side of the question? I asked you what the last new piece of material was. What's the oldest bit that you just can't let go of in the act? What's been with you the longest?
You know, as a comic, I think you peel things away, and then gradually, you know, the new kind of outweighs the old, but I think for me, probably, because I end up talking about dogs a lot, because I mean I have a dog, my girlfriend just moved in, she has a dog, and then it's like I end up doing more stuff about dogs, and then I think the one that seems to be left a lot is still my dogs versus cats thing, where if you're a single guy with a cat, you're either gay or you're a villain. And that's one that I think I wrote it in 2004, and I still end up doing it a lot, because it's like, it's just one that people, it fits in with all the other stuff, and people always like it. So it's one of those things. That one's probably the one that's still hanging on for dear life.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago that your girlfriend had moved in. That's either got to be a major stressor in the future, or it's going to give you material that you can't use?
It's weird. We've talked about it. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, I mean, I think I feel weirder than she does, like if she's watching the show and I talk about things that happen between us. But I don't think she minds so much. I had an ex-girlfriend years ago that, was just, I mean, like she was dead set against me talking at all about what we went through. And, it's really tough as a comic, you know, to not be able to talk about your life. It's awful. That's the whole point about being a comic. And so it's just, so it was kind of like, I mean, as soon as we broke up, like just basically the floodgates opened, and it was, you know, I mean, it was all comedy. It wasn't comedy based in, you know, the fun of, oh, this is our relationship. It was all based in, you know, anger and hatred, which made it even funnier, I think. So it was, it's the one thing we have as comics, I guess. You know, if you go through a bad breakup, you at least can embarrass that person for years to come. So,
well, I know there's, I had interviewed a female comic, Dalva Krause, a couple months ago, and she had just gotten married, and a lot of her act was based on being single. And so, you know, I asked her, I said, what do? You give up all of your material, you know, now that you're married? She said, no, I'm just kind of phasing it out. My new husband's giving me plenty of good stuff.
Yeah, I think you're talking from a different perspective. It depends on, you know, what it is. I mean, because, you know, it's like I've never been a comic, like, who talks about, like, really the singles life or dating scene or anything like that, because I pretty much just, you know, stay in the house and watch TV and play video games. But I think, you know, when you come from the perspective of somebody who's in a relationship, yeah, the way you write your material and the way your life is going to come out in a different way. So, yeah, it's probably going to be a transition for me, you know, as time goes on here.
Well, you know what? I hope for your sake you do have that transition. That's, you know, there are worse things that could happen than to have a woman stick in your life for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not complaining yet. So, yeah, I think I'm, maybe that's why I haven't really, there's not a lot of material yet. Cause there's really nothing to complain about so far. So, yeah, wait till this gets ugly.
And come back when it gets ugly. Well, listen, I can't, speaking of women in comedy, I can't think of a less likely pair of comedians, I think, to talk about the news, but there you are trading jokes with Chelsea Handler, comedian and host of and Chelsea Lately. How did you land that gig?
You know what? It was I've actually known Chelsea for years. She and I used to, you know, I think she's been in Los Angeles longer than me, but when I moved to Los Angeles in 1999, and I was a doorman for a couple of years at the Comedy Store. And Chelsea used to come in. If you've ever been to the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, there's three different showrooms there. And I used to work the back door where people would come in to go there's like a small showroom upstairs called the Belly Room. And there used to be like this, it was like Friday nights, there'd be like this, it was like an all-girls show. And Chelsea would come to that show, and it was just kind of like, you know, but sometimes they would let me go on like at the end or whatever. And we just kind of saw each other then. And it was just, you know, as comics, it's just kind of like, you know, you remember the ones who were funny, and we kind of just remembered each other, you know? So whenever we saw each other, you know, it was just like, yeah, you know, I was the guy who was pretty funny and, you know, still worked the door, and she was the funny drunk chick that came in, you know, and did those shows, every Friday. And it was just, we just kind of, you know, we just remembered each other from that. And every time we saw each other, it was just, you know, we always made sure we said hi, and we always had like a really, you know, mutual respect for each other. So when she started her show, they started doing like mock round tables over at E just to see, you know, who had good chemistry with Chelsea. And somehow I did, you know, even though really, like, you know, she's one of those people, it's like, I, you know, at times, like, I'm so afraid of saying something dumb around her, you know. I mean, so it's like, but somehow we managed to have really good chemistry, and we make each other laugh, which is, you know, which is good for, you know, what the show is. So somehow I got on there. I mean, I know nothing about celebrity gossip or anything like that. Like, it's so, like, for the first 2 years I did the show, the producer would call me every time, and, you know, she's, she was, they were so amazed at what I hadn't, you know, what I didn't know. And it was, you know, you know, it's like, she's like, so you heard about Miley Cyrus, right? I'm like, no. I mean, I'm a grown man. If it wasn't on SportsCenter, I didn't see it. You know, it's not something I pay attention to. So it's always like, the only reason I even know who most of these people are, what's going on in their lives, like, I wouldn't care about Lindsay Lohan, but it's like, nah, well, all right, try to care before the camera goes on. And it's, you know, I think that's probably, you know, why maybe Chelsea likes having me on, because I really don't, I don't have a lot of, you know, I don't make a lot of snarky celebrity jokes, because it's just not what I do. It's, I'm more just, I just kind of take it in a different direction every time, which, you know, it's fun. That's what's great about doing that show is, I look forward to doing it every single time.
Well, for folks who may not have caught you yet on Chelsea lately on E!, here's a little clip of John Caparulo and Chelsea Handler.
There was a guy arrested in New Jersey for having sex with cows. Plural, everyone.
How do you get caught, though? Let's just say you're having sex with cows. Your business, all right, and the cows, but it's not like the cow's going to press charges, all right? How are people finding out about it? I mean, if you're going to have sex with cows, close the drape.
I remember that one. I remember when that came out. I still am just, I'm baffled at, like, it. I mean, you know, it's I mean, the cow's pretty much going to keep quiet about it. So it's pretty much up to you for that to get out into the press. So and it's one of those things. You're going to have sex with cows. Maybe you should hide it. You know, I mean, it's probably something you keep quiet.
Well, I want to ask you about Chelsea herself. A lot of male comedians do not have a lot of respect for female comedians. Now, it sounds like you've had a different experience in that. How does Chelsea rate?
The thing is like, I mean, I've been in comedy for 13 years, and I think that's a common, thought that's out there. It's like, okay, male comics don't respect female comics, because the truth is most female comics aren't very good. But the truth is also most male comics aren't very good. So it's like, you pretty much just have to take the numbers into consideration. When there are fewer women who try comedy and the percentages are against anybody trying comedy that's going to be any good, it's, you know, so the numbers are going to be lower. And then naturally, you know, it's just like, I mean, comedy is a field, and it's an artistic endeavor that thrives on denial. And there's a lot of people who live in denial because there's a such thing called, you know, it's like, well, comedy's subjective, so it's like, well, it's, you know, I mean, it's just easy for somebody to kid themselves, you know, and for others around them to kid them, because nobody really wants to tell anybody else the truth. But the fact of the matter is like, there's very few people who are actually cut out to be a comedian and be a very good comedian, or be somebody at the level of fame that where Chelsea is. And the fact is like, I mean, I know as a comic, like, you know, you can watch somebody do their act, and, you know, it's like, they know all the beats and all the, you know, everything where it's going to come, and somebody can, you know, kind of fake their way through that. But the thing about Chelsea, you know, is, I mean, that's how I gauge how talented somebody is or how funny somebody is, I mean, she's funny. She's what they call walking around funny. Like, she's funny on her feet. She's funny now reacting to what's in front of her. And that's, you know, that's what I respect more than anything. So it's like when I, you know, have the opportunity to spar with somebody, so to speak, who's like that, you know, that's how I gain a lot more respect for somebody as a comedian. You know, it's when they're not doing their act, how funny are they? And she is funny whether she's doing her act or not. And she knows, and she knows who she is, which is so important as a comedian. Is, you know, a lot of people, you know, You know, it's like a lot of people try to invent a persona or a character on stage, and I mean, and usually those are the ones you see through. Those are the ones that are, you know, they don't hold water for very long. And she's who she is. She's who she is on stage. She's who she is on that show. She's who she is when, you know, I mean, when we go to her 4th of July barbecue, that's who she is. And that's what makes her funny. And that's why people like her, because, I mean, people can tell the difference over time. You can tell the difference to, you know, what's real and what's a bunch of crap. And she's the real deal.
Mm. Well, let's change gears a little bit and talk about some male comedians, because men have been in the news, unfortunately, not in a good way lately.
Right.
We lost two very influential comics just in the last month, Robert Schimmel and Greg Giraldo just this past week. And, of course, late last year, Artie Lang tried to commit suicide. I mean, who knew comedy was so dangerous to you know, to comedians?
The really scary part, I think, you know, is that it continues to happen. You know, I think that, you know, and I think that's across the board in all walks of life, show business especially, because... And because really what gets you into show business in the first place is some sort of insecurity and some sort of need to combat that insecurity. And I think we're all cursed with some sort of demon somewhere that made us do it. And I mean, that's the sad part of it. It's how you manage it and, you know, how you're able to live with it. But I mean, the fact is, You know whether it's with Richard Pryor's problems or Sam Kinison's problems or John Belushi. I mean, these are things that happen when, you know, this generation of comedian, we were kids, and they should have been the example to us to go, you know, well, obviously, you know, drugs are bad, alcohol is bad, you know, I mean, any of that stuff. And, you know, the same problems that were around in the, you know, 70s and 80s are still there now, and there's still people, you know, falling off and still thinking that they can, you know, they can beat those sort of problems. And it's not, you know, it's scary that, you know, people don't learn from it.
Sort of a combined question, John, why did you become a comedian, and who are some of the comedians that, you know, kind of influenced you either stylistically or just, they just always make you laugh?
You know, for me, it was, I mean, the comics that influenced me the most, I think when I was a kid, my dad had a bunch of Richard Pryor albums. And I was really young, like, you know, and all I heard really were the cuss words. And my mom used to get mad at him for letting me like, sit in the room, because, I mean, he had them on vinyl, like, you know, so he'd have to sit there by his big stereo in their bedroom and listen to Richard Pryor, and he let me come in, you know, 4 years old and listen to it with him, and then, you know,
Four years old?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I mean, my mom comes around and she's like, John, why are you letting him listen to this? And then, you know, and he's like, he's fine, it's no big, and then, you know, Sunday dinner at my grandparents the next week, and, you know, I call my uncle a fuckhead, you know, it's like, well, now we got a problem, you know, so, but I think my favorite when I was, I mean, I loved Eddie Murphy, and I think when I was about, I would say 12 years old, my sister, you know, who was over, we went to the video store and we rented Eddie Murphy Delirious. And I probably watched it, you know, I mean, in like the 2 days we had it, you know, to rent from the video store, I think I watched it, you know, it probably 15 times. Like it was just the coolest thing I ever saw, like watching somebody take their childhood and you know, their life and put it out there and have people laugh with them about it. And there was something that really, I identified with and gravitated toward. And for me, it was like, you know, I always tell people when they ask, you know, what got me, made me want to do stand-up, when I was around that age, when I was in the sixth grade, I was at, I was on like my little elementary basketball team, and I was at basketball practice, and long story short, I pooped my pants. It was one of those things that was like, it was really embarrassing, and just, I was just devastated. I didn't go to school for days after that, because I mean, you know, there's 15 other guys on the team who are friends that I go to school with who saw that happen. And what it ended up becoming was like, you know, after the pain wore off over like a year or so, it became like this story that my friends started, you know, being like, tell a story about the night you pooped your pants. And I started telling that story, and what it ended up becoming was like the first time I took something that was potentially painful and turned it into an asset, and people laughed with me about it. And then it was like, oh, I'm glad I pooped my pants, because, I mean, if I hadn't pooped my pants, I wouldn't have this story. And
well, that's one you don't hear very often.
And it's the, yeah, I mean, you know, and it was just, that was the thing about, you know, when that happened, it was, like I said, it was just something, you know, clicked with that at that moment where it was like, oh, I take the things that happened to me and use them, you know, and have people laugh with me about something that was really painful at the time. It was awful. It happened to an 11-year-old kid. And it was like, wow, taking this, it's so cathartic. It was just so cool. And it was just the best feeling in the world. And that, you know, that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Wow. Well, folks, listen, you can see comedian John Caparulo, who of course is now famous for pooping his pants, and I've been corrected, is closer to Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy than Larry the Cable Guy, and I will forever be corrected on that. But he is appearing in comedy clubs across the United States in the weeks ahead. To find out when he'll be in your town, you can go to his official website, johncaparulo.com, which is johncaparulo.com, and check the show calendar. And if you're listening to this the weekend of October 1st, 2010, I can tell you he'll be appearing at Side Splitters in Tampa. And you can order his DVD right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. John, are you? Can your fans find you on Twitter or Facebook, any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm on all that stuff. It's Facebook.com/John Caparulo, Twitter.com, same thing. MySpace, but nobody gets on there. All that stuff. Yeah, I mean, any of that stuff. Yes, I have pages on all of them. So please, let's be friends.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, John, it was a lot of fun. I know we kept you longer than you were expecting. I hope it wasn't too rough on you, but thanks so much for being on Mr. Media today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, brother.
My pleasure. Take care. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite comedians, you can surf over to our main website, mrmedia.com. That's where you can find my previous interviews with the late Robert Schimmel. There's two of those, Lisa Lampanelli, Ralphie May, and so many, many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. While you're there, give us a rating. Give us some points. Say something nice. Or not. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or on Facebook, Mr. Media Interviews. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening, and let's go out with just a little bit more John Caparulo.
Like recently, there's a bunch of break-ins in my neighborhood recently, so I was going to buy a gun because it's easier to hide than a sword. And But I made a mistake. I told my mom I was going to buy a gun. She's like, no, don't buy a gun. You'll hurt somebody. I'm like, duh. No point. She's like, just get pepper spray. And the thing is, I'd be more dangerous with pepper spray. Because at least with a gun, I think about it, like, all right, go on, lady. Pepper spray? I'd spray everybody with that stuff. I'd use it all the time. Excuse me, sir. Yeah, I think you're in my parking spot. Yeah, I have my blinker on back there. Oh, you were here first? Well, yeah, look at that. Now your eyes burn. Yeah, I know, it hurts. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, you didn't see my blinker? Well, now you don't see shit, do you? You're in my parking spot.